T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I've come here a thousand times. Some things never change. Yes, I will. Anything you say. I've quit this a million times. Can't quite stay away. Just one more time. I'll be okay. But I'm
Toad the Wet Sprocket.
So damn tired.
Yeah.
Is your artist
Would
of the
I
day.
Come back down. The one crazy too.
Pot it down so I don't have to pay for it. Pot it all the way down. All
they
the way
are
down.
So good.
And back up.
When I come back down.
Toad the Wet Sprocket is your artist of the day, and that's a jam. Stone cold jam.
Great choice.
Thank you.
Great choice.
Guys, I got to tell you right now.
Hmm?
You know, I told you the story a couple months ago about the message from God that I got in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Do more.
I'm not going to say this was a message from God, but I had the weirdest experience today. I've got to tell you about this, Dana. I've never told you guys this. My dad had a weird obsession with $2 bills.
Okay.
All right. And in his dresser, which I still own and is in my home,
yeah,
I have kept the upper left-hand drawer the way he left it. That's where he kept all his little knickknacks,
yeah,
his Boy Scout sash, merit badge thing, yeah, whatever. And in that drawer is a little black box about 5 inches by 3 inches, okay? And he had, like, his lieutenant colonel stuff in there in case he ever needed to pin one on or whatever. And laying on top of it, always, was two $2 bills. Never could figure it out. Never could figure it out. But he loved $2 bills.
And it's just been sitting there in your room forever.
Yes, yep. And I've left that upper left-hand drawer...
untouched, you told me.
Absolutely untouched.
Yeah.
I've never done anything with it. Yesterday, I was polishing the dresser, and just for...
That's not a euphemism, by the way?
No, that is... Not, no, I wasn't dusting the mantle. I was polishing the dresser.
Totally mm-hmm.
There's a total difference.
Yeah, but it could sound like you're... No, never mind.
Right, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, just for nostalgia's sake... I opened up the drawer,
yeah,
looked through some of his stuff. I opened up the black box, and I saw, of course, the two $2 bills, Thomas Jefferson. So today, I've told you guys, I've been going to a psychologist to try to deal with my dad's death and everything. So never one to want to live in debt, I said to the psychologist at the end of our session today at noon, I said, hey, I owe you a little bit of money. I need to clear up my debt. And he said, okay, let me go get my cube and we'll take care of this.
Yeah.
So I whip out my credit card from my wallet, okay? I've done it. And by the way, I got this wallet about a year ago. I got this wallet a year ago and I pull out the credit card. And as I do, I couldn't help but notice that there was a dollar bill in the exact same slot in my wallet where I keep my credit card that I've pulled out hundreds and hundreds of times over the last year. I'll let you pull out the dollar bill.
Okay. There's a dollar.
And keep in mind, I just talked to the psychologist for an hour about my dad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it?
It is a $2 bill.
It's your dad saying hi. I have these moments all the time.
They call them God winks.
I pulled out my credit card.
Do you remember putting the $2 bill in there?
Dana, I have not received a $2 bill in the last year, much less would I put it there.
No way.
And it's a 2009 $2 bill, so there is no way that it was one that belonged to his father.
Correct. My dad died in
1998. Wow. I mean, I see it just sticking up right there.
That's exactly what I saw when I pulled the credit card out. I'm like, oh, that's odd. I got a dollar bill here because, Dana, look where I keep my dollars.
Your dollars are in the bill fold part.
And I pulled out this dollar bill thinking, oh, my God, why would I put a dollar bill
in your psychologist's office this happened?
Yes.
He was.
I'm sorry. I need to go back on the couch, please.
Right.
He was swiping my card as I pulled this out, and it was folded in thirds.
Yeah.
And I open it up, and I had just gotten done talking about my dad for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I open it up, and it's a $2 bill. And I said, holy S.
Yeah.
And I fell back in the chair. And he goes, is something wrong? I said, no, I think everything's right.
Did you show it to him?
Yes, I did. And then I told him the story. And he said, I think somebody's trying to talk to you today.
Yeah.
He got his notepad back out and started the clock for another hour.
He goes, we're going to run this one another hour.
Run this back.
Pick this up where we left off next session.
Let's turn over this sand thing again.
So now you have to leave that $2 bill in there, which is weird because you don't know how it got in there. I mean, maybe it came with the wallet and you never noticed it, which would be weird because...
Yeah,
because
every time somebody gets a new wallet, they put a $2 bill in it. Isn't that the craziest thing ever?
It's a freebie from the manufacturer, you know?
Yeah.
It's a demo.
I have a friend who, and I'm not going to say who he is, but lost a parent... and was told very early on to look for white feathers. And he got home from his mom's funeral and sat down and was sobbing on a couch. And one fluttered on down, like right out of the Forrest Gump movie, and landed on his lapel of his suit jacket. And, you know, he completely freaked out and was crying and laughing and crying. And, you know, and I'm sure the phones are ringing, and they are. People very strongly believe in those. My girlfriend calls it a God wink.
Somebody says, I call BS. I'm telling you right now, I have never lied to you on this show.
Oh, I believe you that you pulled this $2 bill out after talking about the $2 bill and going through your dad's stuff. It is, I don't want to say eerie because that
it's
comes,
weird.
It's weird. That comes with a negative connotation. But
yeah. Dana, if this was a $1 bill, I wouldn't have thought twice about it.
Yeah.
I would have thought, well, you know, sometime in the last year or so, I must have folded one up and just kind of put it in there just to save myself the time.
But it was a two.
And it was the day after, and I don't do this very often, I went through his upper left-hand drawer in the dresser and opened that black box and saw those two $2 bills. And the next day, I'm at a session with a psychologist talking about my dad. I whip out the credit card to pay him, and I see a $2 bill in my wallet.
I'm telling you, it's a thing.
Nobody hands out $2 bills these days, kids. I'm telling you right now.
It's been a long time since I've seen one.
Somebody on the text line asked, was it Kelly? No, she did not know about the $2 bills.
She did not. I told her on the way into work, and she had no idea. And quite frankly, full disclosure, I told her for the first time today that my dad had a fascination with $2 bills.
Now,
she never knew that.
I think that this is lovely and it makes you feel good and you should take it for that. Take it with grace and
Don't overthink it.
I was just going to say, this isn't something you need to break down. Outside of the initial, did I put that in there? No. No, I didn't.
I know I didn't.
And then just take it with grace and go with it.
All right. We got to get going. We got Festivus Friday coming up. It is Friday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. Will Starrett, Sam Stevie. We'll do Festivus Friday at 5 o'clock. Brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Dana Ryan, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy.
We'll take one call. We'll just do one on this, and then we'll move on to something else. Fran in Kansas City. Hello, Fran.
Hi there. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I have a real story to share. My mother speaks to me with brand new shiny heads-up pennies.
Really?
Absolutely. I started my own business, and the morning of the opening of my office, I caught my mom surrounding my car in brand new shiny pennies, heads up.
Why pennies? What was the fascination?
Just shiny. I don't know. My mama did it. I'm not going to question my mama.
Right on.
But anyway, I lost my mom and I moved to Kansas City and I sold my business. I scrubbed the moving vans carrying my things clean, absolutely clean. Bought a home in Kansas City, had it professionally washed and shined. We move in, start moving things out of the moving vans, and we find dozens of shiny heads-up pennies. Then when we go into the house with my belongings, we start finding shiny new pennies. When I had the locks changed, in the lock cavity there were brand new shiny pennies. Huh. I can have a bad day, and I'll find brand new shiny pennies, and my day is made.
Well, take your God wink and walk away with it. Good for you, man. I don't know if I know a lot of you guys were watching the Chiefs last night.
Yeah.
I did not, actually. I was watching the Astros and the Yankees last night.
I was watching hockey.
But I didn't know about this while we were watching the game, but Kelly told me about it this morning. The New York Yankees have some of the most passionate fans in baseball. Unfortunately, they also have some of the dumbest. According to multiple reports, a fan was ejected from the game before it even started last night for criticizing former Kansas City Royals pitcher and current Houston Astros starter Zach Greinke as he warmed up in the bullpen. It is unclear exactly what the particular fan said, but fans were reportedly hurling insults at Greinke relating to his anxiety issues and to his depression. They also yelled at him about his mother. Quoting here from Brendan Cootie on Twitter, a Yankees fan was ejected as fans screamed at Zach Greinke before the game, disparaging his mother and his battles with social anxiety and depression. Now, you know, I believe it was the Yankees manager who had told the fans because they were throwing things at Houston Astros players on the field, if I'm not mistaken, he said, if anybody does that again, we're taking our team off the field.
As it should be.
Of course. But that is beyond the pale. As Greinke is warming up in the bullpen before the start of the game, knowing full well that this is a young man, and everybody in Kansas City remembers. Who has struggled with anxiety and depression.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And I'm gonna guess, but I don't know it for a fact. I'm going to guess the R word was thrown down there, among other things.
What's different about this communication, and I want to talk about
this
both.
This is why I hate the Yankees.
Well, I would say there are things in my life in the last several years that have just made me start to hate people, and that's wrong. It's wrong to think that everyone is like that because this one man is like that. But I know that Zach Greinke would tell you with a social anxiety disorder, when you have five or six of those things happen, it starts to skew your view of the world.
By the way, his first inning last night was horrible.
You start to think that everyone thinks that. What's different about this communication to Zach Greinke that we almost never see anymore is it's face-to-face. Someone actually said these things.
Well, it was multiple people, but only one person was removed.
Right down there that he would hear it. That's different than the awful things we normally see on social media where people hide behind a username, the text line, which I no longer use.
Good for you.
It's different because those things are semi-anonymous. This was somebody saying this in front of him, knowing full well he would hear it.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. One fan was removed. There was more than one fan involved. Shouting, horrible things. What they were, we don't know necessarily. I'll do a little bit more research and try to see if anybody put it online, what they were yelling. Shouting things to Zach Greinke last night before the game about his anxiety, about his depression, and about his mother. 576-7798. Going to be at Crossroads on Monday night.
Are we still on for that?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes. Let's go. So hope to see everybody Monday night for one of the greatest shows on earth, Michael Fronte and Spearhead at Grinders, Crossroads, whatever you want to call it. We're talking about this story. This one is from, I believe, NBC, where one Yankees fan was ejected last night. Others should have been. As they shouted down to Zach Greinke as he was warming up in the Houston bullpen for the game, making fun of him for his anxiety issues, his depression issues. They were shouting things down there about his mom, all kinds of stuff. Somebody says, let me go back and find this if I can. Oh, New York City squashing free speech. Shocker. That's not free speech. You don't have the right to say whatever you want in a baseball stadium that I believe is owned by the team.
Yeah, they can kick you out for any reason whatsoever. Do you have the right to be a horrible human being?
Yes. Yes, yes you do have the right.
Absolutely have the right.
Fred Phelps.
You have that right. Do you have the right to shout insults at a player in a stadium you do not own? No.
No. The ticket is pretty clear. If you read the legalese on the back of the ticket, it's pretty clear they can eject you for any reason at any time. Mm-hmm. Including no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, we just don't like you, Will
right.
Stair. Get out.
Exactly.
I mean, but let's focus on not whether or not the Yankees have the right to kick this person out.
Sure.
Let's focus on how horrible of a human being you have to be that you're shouting down insults to a pitcher. Now, granted, he makes a lot of money, Scott. He could fuck it up, grow thicker skin.
I hate that argument. Okay, because you're successful in what you do, people get to say whatever they want to you?
So these people are yelling things down there about his anxiety, about his depression. Clearly, he has some mental health issues. I don't think that's ever been a secret with Zach Greinke. And then they're throwing down insults about his mom.
I'll admit, I have heckled a major league pitcher before, but it was definitely not about this, and this is the sort of stuff that's off limits.
And, you know, I've never met Zach Greinke, but when he was with the Kansas City Royals, I got to see firsthand his, and I think you did too, Dana. I think you were on the show this time. I got to see firsthand the seriousness of his anxiety issues. We were, I think it was you and I, forgive me if I'm wrong, we were at the Kansas City home show, and I think it was over at the Overland Park Convention Center. Zach Greinke had been paid to show up at the home show. He was still with the Royals at the time, and to come out and greet fans and sign autographs.
Yeah.
And it was time for Zach, I think it was supposed to be at 5 o'clock. Zach Greinke was going to come out at the home show. There were kids lined up. They were ready to meet him. They wanted his autograph. There were fans, you know, adult fans of the Royals. They were going to get his autograph and everything. He couldn't come out. He just couldn't come out.
Yeah.
He was petrified.
He is not the only person in a high-profile job that has that issue, and certainly not the only athlete. There was another athlete in the news about this about a month ago who opened up about it, talked about it. Just because you have a public job does not mean you are somehow insulated from social anxiety stuff.
And it also doesn't give people a free pass to tee off on a guy.
He's notorious, too, for, they were showing this the other day, for his news conferences, it's please just get me out of here. It is a one-word answer.
Oh, you be the reporter. I'll be Zach Greinke.
I'll say, how do you feel about the game coming up?
Good.
Did you do anything special to prepare?
Too much eye contact, Scott. Look down.
Sorry.
Yeah. And
no.
And someone put this on Twitter the last time he did a news conference in a loving way and said, we in the press know he hates to do this. Mm-hmm. He said 23 words in a painful appearance that everyone knows he doesn't want to be there.
Sure.
He's got to be there. He's there because he has to be there. And then they said the next guy who came out gave us 2,436 words, just to give you, you know, an example. He has a public job. There are certain things when you have a public job that you have to do. But I agree with Will. One of them should not be putting up with idiots like this.
Somebody writes in on the text line, almost defending, if you will, the fans in New York. Maybe they were trying to rattle him so he performs poorly and not just being crappy humans. No, they were just being crappy human beings. When you are rattling somebody over their mental health issues, anxiety and depression, and then to top it off, you're making fun of his mom, you suck as a human being.
I will grant that texter what they say, and I will grant what you say. I think they probably were actually trying to rattle him, but the method of going about that was to advertise to everyone within earshot and now all around the world that they are disgusting human beings.
Yes.
I think both the texter and you are correct.
Well, not to mention the focus on mental illness lately and the fact that it is a reality and that a lot of people face it.
Yeah.
Pick something else, man.
Let's go to Robert calling in from Nebraska. Robert, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, just real quick, I do love enjoying listening to your guys' podcast, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You're very kind. Thanks.
Did you say it was the manager or the owner of the Yankees threatened to take the players off the field before the game?
I believe it was the previous game, there were some objects that were thrown onto the field at Houston Astros players, and it is my recollection, I'll have to go back and double check, it is my recollection that the manager said if that happened again last night, and it didn't, I will take my team, the Yankees, off the field.
In my opinion, I believe that that should happen a lot because there is a lot of hate towards these players that, yes, are a public figure, and yes, they are getting paid a bunch of money to play, but doesn't mean they need to be talked down to like that. So I defend that any manager, any owner of any team should be able to take their players off the field so that way they don't have any instances like what Zach's going through.
I see your point. I think it would be a far and few between argument, the number of managers that would say, I'm taking my team off the field. You're the home team, by the way. When your owner, or the owner of the club, not your owner, but the owner of the club, wants you to, A, win a game, so he, most of the time, he can make millions and millions of dollars. Go ahead, manager, take your team off the field and see if I employ you next season. Go ahead and take a moral stand because you don't want your fans throwing objects at the opposing team and see if I employ you next season.
I do think, though, that we're reaching a point within sport in general where that is going to become more accepted. Scott, I know you're a soccer guy. It's no secret that throughout a lot of the European leagues, a lot of racist abuse gets hurled at players.
Especially in England.
Yeah. And there was a moment even this week where Team England almost walked off the pitch and had the full support of everyone involved.
Yeah.
So I really feel like this is something that's probably going to come sooner as opposed to later unless this sort of behavior cools down.
Yeah, Will, I hope you're right. 576-7798. What do we got going on tonight there, Dana?
Well, tonight is senior night. I'm very excited. Get to walk the daughter down the track.
Did you get her some flowers?
I have everything all set the way it needs to be.
Okay, so somebody's getting flowers.
Except pants, which I had to buy on the way in. Yes, everything is set.
You didn't have pants?
Well, it's going to be cold, and then I thought maybe I should wear pants. I don't know.
You didn't have pants?
You want to know the honest truth, Scott?
No, I don't.
I didn't have the energy to shave my legs today, so I couldn't wear a skirt. And then I needed pants. That's the truth. I looked down in the shower and was like, nope, don't have the energy to do
it. I'd rather spend $40 mm-hmm. on a pair of pants.
Yes.
Than reach down and shave these hairy stems I call legs.
Correct. That's the truth.
I'm thinking of a word that begins with an L and ends with an AZ.
You haven't seen my legs.
Or
are they still hairy?
Problem.
Let me see them.
I was just like, No,
real quick. We got to get to break. Let me see them.
You do realize that you're going to be far enough away from anyone in the stands that they're not going to see, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Is it like lumberjack material?
Well, let's just say she rolled it up and it sounded like somebody rubbed sandpaper across.
Everyone listening knows that there's that moment in the shower in the fall when you're heading into winter that you're like, do I really...
You don't shave your legs in the winter.
And I was late to this appointment I had. And so, yeah, I was like, I'm just going to buy pants.
Okay.
It was only $20. They weren't
$40. 576-7798.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth. And I'm never going to win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you're going to do.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball.
I know it's popular to hate this, guys. I love Nickelback. I love Nickelback.
This song is great.
Great album. Listen to me, gang. And I'm being serious, man. Stare, get back in there. Stare, get back in there. Every time you think you've got it bad in life, thank God that you're not a member of the Kansas National Army Guard at KMBZ Studios on a Friday afternoon in mid-October.
Are you really putting this on the air?
Wait, yes. What are we doing?
It's so good.
I said, every time you think you've got it bad in life, mm-hmm. I want you to thank God that you're not a member of the Kansas Army National Guard.
Oh, man.
On a Friday afternoon in mid-October. there was a group
this
here.
Might not be good for their recruiting.
There was a group here.
They wanted to pop in and see the newsroom.
They was? Wanted, yeah.
Are they finally not here anymore?
No, nope, they're still here.
Dan Weinbaum literally was holding court with these people, these heroes, soldiers.
I'm going to call them hostages.
Hostages?
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
For 2 hours in the newsroom. At least two hours.
Here's the deal. When you ask to do a tour of any station, you pop in, you see the newsroom, you say hi, anybody have any questions?
I think they just finally made their way to the west side of the building.
They're only halfway done.
When Dan Weinbaum leads a tour, you're going to get a tour. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a tour of every corner.
Whether you like
every
it
nook
or
and
not.
Cranny.
Every nook and cranny in this building. He's probably showing them the bathroom.
And this spot on the carpet was made last year.
This is where Scott peed earlier today.
That's the couch. Don't sit on it.
Do you know he would be a great tour guide?
He would be, but I mean, you've got to limit
it. But I mean like
it.
in Greece or something where, you know, talking
like
about the
Rome.
Architecture.
Looking at
architecture.
The catacombs and all that
yes.
stuff.
Yes,
pay
$50. Put him in a museum.
And this is where we think the bones of St. Peter are buried. Let me tell you about St. Peter.
These poor people, it's been, I think it's hour three. We're now in hour three.
Oh, we're well into hour three.
And you know what they're thinking.
Get me the hell out of here.
What would happen if I just flung myself out the window?
So here's the funny thing.
That's why the windows don't open.
So I walked out of the studio during the last commercial break to run to the office real fast. And Dan's out there holding court like nobody's business.
Well, actually.
Well, I don't know if you knew this about radio, but. And I looked at this guy and who was in the National Guard. And I just, under my breath, I kind of whispered to him, I go, is he still going? And he looks at me and goes, yes. And I go, you're free to leave. You know that, right? And he goes, no. And I go, I am so sorry.
They can't just leave. What, they all come together like as a
group.
As
a group. There's a bus out front for them.
Yeah, this is why you take your own car to these things.
I go, is he still going? And I was talking about Weinbaum, and the poor guy just looks at me and he goes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if I'd have known, I'd have gone out there and just flat out told him. I'd have been like, Dan, that's enough.
No, they're just now working their way through the west side of the building.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying, if
I... here's the buzz, and here's the rock.
If I'd known that this was so involved, I would have just gone out there and said, Dan, that's enough.
This is where Laszlo is, and, mm-hmm. and over no, here's where point, Johnny Dare
at the
is.
Point that you've asked them 42 times, does anyone have any more questions? And no one says a word. That's when you know it's time to wrap it up.
Oh, my God. Somebody writes in on the text line, and here's the janitor's closet. This is where we get our extra toilet paper.
These are the door locks. This is how we stay secure.
Oh, my God. These poor people. And then Mark Lavoie tells me out in the newsroom, he goes, these guys have been through combat. No, seriously. Mark Lavoie tells me out in the newsroom, because we're joking about Dan. And he goes, these guys have been through combat. And this is the worst day of their life.
Right. If they have PTSD, it's going to be because of this.
They didn't before they walked in here.
Not because of combat. Everything was fine, and then they came here.
Like, instead of waking up in the middle of the night thinking they're under attack, they're going to wake up in the middle of the night, sit straight up and go, I don't have any more questions.
Post-traumatic stress, Dan.
That was good. Yeah, they're going to wake up in the night. In their head, they're going to hear Dan say, well, actually...
No, seriously. Their wives are going to divorce them because they're going to wake up every night and just go, I don't have any more questions ever.
And the wife, without even rolling over, is going to say, let me guess, it was the radio station dream again.
These poor cats.
Somebody says, just have Sam pull the fire alarm. He's
you
the new
should
kid.
Go. Literally. You should go.
Literally, they've
say,
been. These people have been held
here's
hostage.
Here's what you need to say.
I'm not saying anything.
You need to say that he is urgently needed back up here for hour three of our program, which.
Somebody writes in, and this is the janitor's closet. You know, mops were invented by Henry Moppington in 1854.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.